part of their phasing through lanes of Pepper's Creek, there could be a stub for these 8 lots for sanitary sewer, or the county would like to see sanitary sewer run down the road and come down Marina Road so that in the future, these individuals along Marina Road, if they so chose, to be able to hook into the sanitary sewer system.
Stormwater management, do you think you could still get these 8 lots and have the stormwater management that either would come in under the existing regs or the proposed, hope to soon be revised regs?
Yes, through providing, being able to provide, again, what we're going to do is we're going to use natural vegetation, and we're going to use proposed vegetation here, and through in the green, some of the requirements in the green tech, in the green technology manual talks about infiltration, the use of planted buffer strips, and being able to meet the water quality requirement of the regulations.
If DENREC doesn't give you the private marina permission, if this was acted on, is there other amenity package? I know you mentioned you'd try to work and get a school bus stop if possible.
Yeah, we'll work with the subdivision manager, transportation manager with the school district, and during our process and prior to final approval, we would be able to ascertain or not whether the Indian River School District would like to see a bus stop somewhere in a location here.
On the marina, is there any other amenity besides your proposal to hopefully get that put in as a private marina?
Just trying to keep as much of this area along Pepper's Creek as natural as possible, and there is a low area, there's a landing sort of down here about where we're showing the marina, so it would be ideal to be able to set up for a picnic area, just natural open space for the residents.
That's all I have.
All right, sir.
Mr. Johnson.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. I, too, have had an opportunity to review the materials that were submitted by Mr. Davidson as well, and I share the same concerns and maybe the confusion that we all have a little bit about the entrance and the access to it, given that it is coming off a 50-foot right-of-way. So otherwise, I don't have any questions, Mr. Chairman.
All right, sir. Thank you. Mr. Burton.
What's the definition of a marina? Are you looking? It looks like you got boat drop off, where there's a boat ramp, and then also docks?
Yeah, what it would be is there's an existing, although it could be marginal, boat ramp there right now. That would be updated to have a boat ramp there, and as well as reestablishing the location. Again, there's just small pilings, rotted piling sticking out of the water, that would be redone, and then just have a marina out there that would service just the 8 lots. So not a commercial marina by any means. There would be any fueling station. The fueling station was actually removed. The existing fuel pumps, there was a gas pump located. That would actually be removed. This would just be a dock for crabbing, fishing, a pier, but would have boat slips in there for the residents of this subdivision.
So you're thinking 10, 12 slips is what you're...
Probably. It'd be. I don't think... I think they limit it to 10 slips. So, and they talk about boat size. When you go to file for a boat application, they talk about the types of boats, the sizes, and basically they're not going to just give
this 5.99 acres 10 boat slips without seeing that there's possibly 8 lot subdivision here approved or...
Okay. The getting back to the this non-ratified agreement, are you proposing, if this were to be ratified, that the property line be moved?
No.
So the buffer area that's shown on there and the shed and the dog house that's on here would be part of Mr. Merrick's lot or part of the subdivision?
It actually falls within the subdivision as it stands.
States. That would be the subject of a conversation that Mr. Keith and Mr. Barrett needs to have. Depending on how this all...
I got it.
It's a further discussion that Mr. Keith has to have with Mr. Merrick about the doghouse and
the fence. Okay. The other request that you're is the 20 foot buffer. Are you proposing that all the way around, or just on one lot? A waiver on one? Are you asking for one lot waiver of the 20 feet?
It would come to four lots in total. Although we do show a portion of some open spacing through here. It would be lot 6 and 7. So essentially, it would be the back of lot 1, the side of lot 1, which has substantial open space here. There's roughly about 35 feet there.
Along the side?
Along the side right now, 40 feet possibly. And then we do come back to a point here. And then 6 and 7, a small portion of 6. On the subdivision plat, small portion 6 doesn't. Again, the 20 feet doesn't occur until right in here. So it would be 6, 7, 1, 2, 6, and 7 actually. Again, we would still want to provide the landscaping as required under the.
The buffer would be part of the guy's lot.
That's correct.
Maintenance.
Yes.
But it would always remain there. That would be.
It would always remain there.
Written
yes.
In that.
That's correct.
That you must maintain this.
That is correct. Yes.
20 feet. Okay. And then one more question. The driveway that goes to the other two lots from the aerial, it looks like the placement where you put it and the placement where the aerial is. It looks like it's. Current road from this aerial looks like it's coming up here. It doesn't even go to that lot. If I'm looking at it right.
No, it runs right along the. Actually, it does come. I do have the road located. It does run. It comes right back into where this easement is, and it does run. Again, the road would, that portion of the road would probably fall where lot 96 at the landing.
That's what it looks like. It looks
yeah.
like it cuts right
actually,
through that
lot.
Lot
95, but it's actually, there's a road right here. This road, here we go. I show a portion of it right here. It comes through this right there.
So that to access those two lots, he would come through this road that you're proposing.
That's correct. They have and I provided in the booklet the easement that allows these two lots access from here all the way out to Pine Neck Road. And I show that easement on the plat here. It talks about it right here. Although the easement's in one location, the road's in another, but they have.
You're going to get them to go together.
That's correct. They're going to be able to come down through Marina Road and then just come right off the cul-de-sac here. Part of our construction, we will relocate this access for them.
Okay. Would there be a need for the 1,000-foot waiver on the road, or are you under that as far as fire truck turnaround?
You're only measuring where his property starts.
Where his starts. goes for. Okay. No further questions.
Thank you, Mr. Lang.
Question I have is that in your notes or your conditions, you make reference to the streets. Interior street design should meet or exceed Sussex County standards. Why not build them to state standards since Marina Road is already a state street?
That a discussion we have with DelDOT, we talked about doing that. That's why it's put meets or exceeds. To exceed Sussex County would be to.
But then what I'm asking is, would it be a public dedicated street maintained by the state once you reconstructed it?
Yes, once you.
If you went that way.
Yes.
And it's up to DelDOT, because DelDOT has accepted some projects with county street connected to state street as extension of the street.
The reason is, and just to further elaborate just real quickly, is because
there's really no formal way of putting an entrance plan. You're doing an entrance like you do for a traditional subdivision, where you design an entrance. This is an extension of the road. So DelDOT inquired. They had asked, as we get further along here, if we could discuss further extending just this portion of their right-of-way all the way back, and that they would maintain it. And
that's all I have.
Okay, Council?
With this road, I'm just trying to get a handle on where the county road begins and ends. It looks like from the survey, the county, I think, that's what I wanted to find out, that 336B ends at the common boundary, basically, the Fry property and the Merrick property. It's different on each one of these. That's why I'm not sure.
It's just during our search of the property, when we were doing the property survey, that's what I was talking about, these two subdivision plans.
So is it a county road? I mean, is it on DelDOT's inventory of their roads?
Yes, it's a DelDOT road. As a matter of fact, I believe, I'm not quite sure when, but I think they just resurfaced this entire road, tar and chip, but they resurfaced it. And it might have just been a matter of weeks ago or a couple of months ago, but it was just recently done by.
Does it show up on DelDOT's inventory all the way through to your client's property line, or does it?
Yes, they show it. They show basically the same thing. They call it a 50-foot right-of-way. They have a 50-foot right-of-way all the way to.
Okay.
But there's, again, through that exhibit, I showed that little piece of land here that's kind of cuts down here by and owned by Mr. Steen.
Right.
There's that little jog, and it's about falls 2 feet short.
Because the line, that was going to be my next question. The line on the Merrick property, really, that's straight the whole way back. It's where it jogs is.
There's some issue with, you know, again, we take a look at when we were doing the search for the property on the deeds and the research for this. You got junior and senior title. And you try to find what came first, and these came first.
Right.
Matter of fact, it goes as much as showing on the Land Tech, the one in 88, it shows that Charles Stevenson shows his land stopping at the 50-foot right-of-way.
Right.
Mr. Stevenson then sold the land to, I'm not quite sure, I think the individuals that the Merricks bought their property off of. So, again, it would, in doing the research and finding, you know, where the 50-foot right-of-way does come to Mr. Keith's property, and talking with DelDOT's showing that they have a 50-foot right-of-way. And I believe even in the survey that Mr. Merrick provided with his opposition letter, their surveyor shows the 50-foot access going through. They showed a little bit differently. They showed that the property had a full 50-foot. They didn't show this little 2-foot.
The 2-foot jog is on the opposite side,
right,
on the Steen side.
That's correct.
All right. That's all the questions I had.
All right, sir. We thank you. You'll take a seat nearby, and we'll see if there's anyone here with an interest in your application. Is there? Oh, I'm sorry. That's right. You had a question. Excuse me. Mr. Johnson.
When the fuel pumps were removed, was there any environmental remediation work done?
Yeah. When they were removed, through EnviroTech was hired to come in and look at that. So everything was removed and disposed of properly. But yes, it was. I don't think any remediation was complete, because all they did was, I think what was left here was a small tank with a gas pump, an old fueling gas pump. So all that was removed.
Which is where my concerns are coming from, is whether or not, you know, the soils that might have been contaminated by the old fuel pump and the old tank, if that was ever addressed and taken care of.
Yeah, through a report that EnviroTech did, that there was no contamination within the site. And again, that's all part of Denerec's application to reconstruct or to rebuild portion of that marina out there, is that you have to check the soils out there to make sure there was no contamination. That's one of their requirements.
Okay. And then I guess my second question would be directed to our council, and he may or may not want to weigh in on it today, but whether or not we could consider the waiver at this part of in the process, or whether that should have been done, as Mr. Lank had stated earlier, that it should have been part of the application.
Yeah, I'd have to go back and look at it because there's the two issues. There's the waiver of the buffer and whether that should have been advertised and or not, you know, whether it makes a difference. And then also whether it's Board of Adjustment or a waiver of the subdivision requirements for the right-of-way access. So I'm not prepared to opine on that tonight.
Thank you.
Thanks.
I just put you on notice.
Yeah, no. Consider me notified.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman.
You're welcome, sir. All right, now you may take a seat, and we'll see if anyone's interested in your application. Is there anyone here that would like to speak in favor of Subdivision 2009-2 Keith Properties Incorporated? Is there anyone here that would like to speak in opposition to Subdivision 2009-2? All right, sir, we'll start with you in the red shirt, sir. Please come up, give us your name, and you may have the floor.
E.J. Steen. I'd just like to say Marina Road came into existence after the development there at Holly Cove. Marina Road at one time was a dirt road, mm-hmm. and my father gave half of the road to Del Dot, and Jay Stevenson and Mr. Fry and Mr. Kirby and Richard Calhoun, they all gave their property
right. So
that we could have that dirt road maintained by the state.
Mm-hmm.
On a low tide, I didn't really know about this until the other day about all this stuff, but anyway, on a low tide, if they want to put a marina out there, you cannot float a boat there on a low tide. I live there. I live just right across from Timmins Cove. And also, since they put in Galsway Campground, they've got like 90-some boat slips down there. And the boat traffic, I live right there on the water, and I can't even enjoy life because of all the boat traffic. It's just 24/7 in the summertime, from Memorial Day till school starts. Just jet skis and all that. And we've already got a big development over there called Pepper Creek Marina. And and the Marina Road, it stops right there where all the properties come together. And my wife and I are in opposition to it.
All right, sir. We thank you. Okay, who's next? Okay, sir, come on up. What's your name? You may have the floor.
My name is George Brent Merritt. I'm a husband of Natasha Merritt, and we own the property right adjacent to the proposed subdivision. I've got a little handout here I'd like to hand. You may already have this information, but it is a part of the proposed land swap that was spoke about. And maybe this might show you a little bit, enlighten you a little bit more to the survey that maybe you have a privy to. There was done by Temple and Sellers, and there are several different issues, of course, that have been addressed tonight that are incorrect. As Mr. Steen stated, there was 25 foot of land given years ago from Curtis Steen, and also 25 feet of land given by the Fries and everyone else up and down that region, so that Marina Road could be created in the exact place where it is now. The 50-foot right-of-way that Keith Properties has spoke about that is shown on this survey is incorrect. That was done because of a proposed subdivision way back in the day. There are no deeded easements found for the Fry's property, nor our property, to that 50-foot, that dotted line 50-foot of road there, where it says no easement agreement found. That was written by Brad Temple from Temple and Sellers. And so that kind of explains that aspect of their application.
Just, I'm sorry, we're looking at the handout. Which survey are you talking about that talks about the Temple Sellers?
Yes, sir. This one here. You just have a small section of it. I couldn't copy it all. I just copied the pertinent part. And
oh,
here,
indeed,
is no easement found for this property and this property, and this is exactly where Marina Road is and was supposed to be, where the Steens gave their 50 foot on this side and all the landowners on this, excuse me, their 25 feet, and all the landowners on this side gave their 25 feet to create the road where it is as we speak. And Jay and Debbie Stevenson, where that 25 foot easement was back in the early 70s, they were the people that we purchased that property from to clarify that also.
Well, thanks. I just want to make sure.
Yes, sir. Okay, so that is indeed that part of the puzzle. And then if you look on there also, you'll see the approximate end of the constructed road, and that is halfway through our property. It does not ride on carry on down into the Keith property. It, in theory and in on the plat, it stops halfway through our property. Now, physically, it goes to about two-thirds of the way down, but it does not go to the Keith property. Marina Road stops right there. The access that the two parcels have, which are adjacent to the Keith property, are all the way end of it, are reached by a 10-foot dirt road, which you can see also on this survey here. I'd just like to add something here is that as far as this agreement was considered, we turned this agreement down 2 years ago, flat out. It wasn't to our liking for many different reasons. And I'll just read this to you. It's something that I wrote, and you all are privy to this, but maybe somebody else would like to read it. But we own the land that Keith Properties is claiming to involve in a proposed land swap to be used as access and egress to Marina Road needed for the proposed subdivision 2009-2. KPI was told approximately 2 years ago we were not interested in the above-mentioned proposed land swap, and the surveyors of DC Group who drew up the subdivision plans were told the same thing at the same time. We're appalled by the assumption that KPI and DC Group made and let this go on through. A subdivision would negatively affect our area and our property. Eight lots would lead up to 24 cars coming and going through our front yard every day. We cannot live this way. We live in a beautiful part of Sussex County with two wonderful daughters, and our quality of life is our main concern. Our property would become completely uninhabitable with the existing proposal. We purchased our property over 10 years ago, knowing the farmer, previous owner of KPI property, that's Keith Properties Incorporated, and the other two neighbors would access Marina Road through our property. We did not expect or allow this property to become an entrance to a busy subdivision and a possible marina. The proposal will decrease our property values while increasing, of course, the it's all to the advantage of Keith Properties. No easement to the Keith property. There is no easement to the Keith property. At our expense, we hired Brad Temple, Temper and Sellers Incorporated Land Surveyors of Seaford, Delaware, to survey and research all deeded easements to and through our property. No easements to the Keith property were found. Additionally, no easement agreement was found for our property and also the Fry's property of this 50-foot right-of-way. This is in regard to the 50-foot right-of-way claim by DC Group. This can be verified by Brad Temple and our research-based survey, which you have in front of you. We stand firm on our refusal of KPI's current proposed land swap, as we have for the past 2 years. KPI's insistence on moving forward with this has cost the commission, the county, and taxpayers unwarranted dollars, and we request that the commission deny KPI's proposed subdivision. I also have a couple things that I made notes of, you know, that you guys should be aware of, that I don't think you are aware of fully, is that the site work was done to that fuel pump and tank. It was done by the Keys. Maybe it was overseen by EnviroTech, but I don't know anything about that. And I don't know if they've tested the dirt that they've dug out of there. They put it out of there, you know, put it in a silt fence area and whatnot, and I don't know if future testing has been done with that. As far as my dog kennel goes, I had permission there from the farmer to build a dog kennel, and yes, there is a dog kennel there, which can be moved easily, and I have no qualms about doing that. It's no problem whatsoever. But as I stated, Keith Properties knew that we weren't going to accept this proposal 2 years ago for many different reasons. You also have to remember that that property, if you just drove down there, you'd see massive amounts of erosion in the road itself. That drains better part of what was a 40-acre field. Now, that field is going to be created into the marina of Pepper Creek,
So I don't know what type of drainages and what type of storm runoff they have, their idea of that, but I also don't know what Keith Property's idea of it is in the plats that I've seen in these pictures that we were shown today. And as far as leaving the natural forest there, lots one and two of the Keith properties are the only places where there are natural forests left there, and it shows that all both lots one and two, the first ones that you come to, I think they're lots one and two, when you enter the property to the right-hand side, would be where the existing forest is, and that would be, of course, wiped out to have a couple lots there. And that's about it. I'd just like to say that there are some discrepancies there, but as I stated, we paid Temple and Sellers to come and to read through these discrepancies and research all the easements. There are easements to my property, and there are easements to the Fry's property and everybody up and down the street, but not easements to the Keith property, and those easements were put in even before the dirt road was established into a state road, okay? So, and of course, you can see that there are some discrepancies here for this 50-foot of right-of-way, which basically is our, as I look at it here, that 50-foot of right-of-way, our septic is about right on this edge of it there, too, you know, the proposed 50-foot of right-of-way. As I stated, there were no easements found for this, and that is just some confusion. As Brad Temple told me with a surveyor, I think it was Bennett, who was talking about that little dotted line there was put into effect through some proposed subdivision. I can't even remember what he said, but it was way back in the day. And that's all I have to say about it. That's all.
All right, sir. We thank you.
Thank you.
Okay. Anyone else wish to speak in opposition? Yes, ma'am, in the blue. Sounds like somebody's going to get a trip to Chancery Court.
I'm Pat Fry, and one of the parties of the Fry property that has been called into play here. My husband and I purchased this property in 1962, cleared it by hand, and we purchased it from Miss Sarah and Mr. Frank Timmons. It is correct that on the left side of what is now Marina Road, the Steen family gave 25 feet the entire length of what is now County Road Marina. And all of us on the other side gave the 25 feet. The old road, when we purchased our property, actually was a dirt road that went through our property. And as there were many verbal agreements between parties at that time, Mr. Frank and Ms. Sarah indicated to us that there was in play this proposal for a road, but for many years there was nothing other than the dirt road. It is my understanding that the Keith property does not, in fact, have a 20-foot easement that connects to Marina Road. My understanding is that it is indeed a 10-foot dirt road that was eased by Ms. Sarah and Mr. Frank many years ago. I've seen nothing in the books that indicates otherwise.
Can I ask a question? And Mr. Chairman, maybe if somebody else can come up that knows this, and maybe from Mr. Davidson even. And what you folks are saying is that the Keith property's property has no frontage on County Road 336?
Is County Road 336 Marina, or is County Road 336 is Piney Neck, is it not?
336B is County Road, 336B is Marina.
Is Marina. To the best...
It sounds like what's been said is that everybody gave 25 feet all the way up that, and at some point, Keith Properties has frontage on the end of Marina Road. What I'm trying to understand.
What I'm hearing being said is that the
easement goes approximately one half of the way across what is currently the Merrick's property. At the time the easement was made, if my memory serves, the property that is now, that now belongs to the Merricks, was still part of the Timmons property.
So what you're saying, then, to simplify that, is that that dedication to DelDOT stops somewhere halfway up the Merricks Road.
Exactly.
And then the Merricks property, or the Steen property, I guess, closed off and did not denied any frontage to what's now the Keene
right.
property.
Right.
You've got...
The egress and access was a dirt road back and forth to the Timmons property, which, again, at the time we purchased, was the only property down there. The two properties that now exist along the river banks or the creek banks were not yet sold by the Timmonses.
Okay. But looks like to me that the easement, according to this survey, stops at the Merrick property. It doesn't continue on. According to the notation, they said there's no agreement found for that parcel, so it would have to stop right here.
That's the end of the road.
That's the end of the road.
It's a conundrum.
Okay. Well, anyone else want to speak in opposition? One trip to a customer, sir. I'm sorry. Unless you want to shed some light on this, do you have an answer to the counselor's question about the?
Yes, sir. I have copies of easement 60713 and 7518 in my possession. I can give you a copy of that. That may explain it. That it does stop halfway through what was the Stevenson property and is now our property.
So it does stop halfway through. So your survey is incorrect, also.
Sir, you need to come forward. If you're
hey, come on up. Yeah.
Look at this dark one.
All right.
Approximate end of construction road.
Right.
DB751-8.
Okay.
That would be this agreement here with the Stevensons, which was our property.
Show me, if you would, just reach over here. The easement ends here.
Yes, sir.
How far does it extend this way?
It's 25 foot of easement. This easement was put into play so that the Jay and Debbie Stevenson could get to, in 1975, was put into play so that they could get to the easement that these folks had to get to their property.
But that's not what this, I know there's a note here that says approximate end of constructed road and what the easement is, but there's nothing that indicates how wide the easement is, or it just says that's where it ends.
Yes, sir. I believe on here it says 25 feet is what I was trying to...
25 feet from on your property?
No, sir. 25 feet.
From where?
Here you go, sir.
Well, that's not helping me any because...
Okay, well,
because
that's all I have for you.
All right.
It goes from 25 foot. This easement right here in detail was to this property for this. As far as the easement goes for the 25 feet from each side, that's a different writing and a different easement, but
okay.
I was referring to this easement right here, the easement that Mrs. Fry had spoke of on the behalf of 25 foot of Steen's property, 25 foot of the Stevenson's property, and also the Fry's property, create state road, Marina Road.
That's this right here.
No, sir. That's this right here.
Oh, I'm sorry. Excuse me. Okay.
Yes, sir. This is the one that was in question where there's no easement found, the dotted line, which is incorrect.
Because what you...
I hope that...
You know, I'm even more confused now than I was, but that doesn't matter because... Clearly, there are title issues here, property line issues here. You guys are on your way to Chancery Court, I think, but that's beyond scope of our involvement. We're here to talk about this subdivision application. So, is there anyone else here who'd like to speak in opposition? Anyone else on the commission have any questions or comments?
I have one question.
Yes, sir.
If these issues did get resolved and this application went forward, is there a timetable to build this out?
That would depend upon county sewer.
Well, yeah, that's they really can't answer that.
Well, I mean, there's timetables built into that.
Timetables built into the approval.
Yeah,
I mean, if we approve it, the clock's running. If they don't get what they need to build it and it expires, it expires.
Yeah, the new ordinance change would be 3 years if you grant preliminary approval.
Right, it'd be good for 3 years.
You get final, and then the construction issues become 5 years after that, or total. So dance underway.
Okay. I don't know, it seems, it does strike me as interesting, though, Mr. Davidson, that you, didn't you perceive this as a problem? I mean, you and your applicant perceive this as a title issue, and I mean, just surprised that you're making the time investment and the money investment at this point for a subdivision. You're not even sure you have access to the land.
Well, again, what we've been able to discover in our title survey of the property is that there's plats that supersede what surveys came about for the Stevenson property, and then there's the easements in there that are talked about of having 50-foot right-of-way to the property. I won't elaborate.
Well, again, this isn't the forum for trying that issue,
But I think with that, also with the fact that I think Mr. Keith was hopeful of the fact that he was going to work on an agreement with Mr. Merrick, and
I didn't get that impression.
No, it's not. It doesn't appear to be. So, but it did state
But you can take him to court. I think Mr. Merrick's dog wants to. And then you can all spend a lot of money. So, you know.
But it did state in Mr. Merrick's later that he would be. And I just dropped everything, so I mixed it all up. But
that's fine. It is necessary for you to. Obviously, you feel like you have a position that justifies your being here, and we respect that. And it really isn't our issue anyway. That's something for a. That's above our pay grade. So, all right. Is there anyone else? Being none, we'll close the public hearing. We'll invite you to remain with us for the rest of the evening to see if we make a decision, or you may wish to call the office in the morning. Our next public hearing is subdivision 2009-3, Woodland Ferry Estates, LLC.
An application to consider the subdivision of land in an AR1 agriculture residential district in Seaford 100, Sussex County, dividing 30.65 acres into 22 lots, located northeast of Route 78, 425 feet northwest of Route 80. This application was filed on March 6th of 2009. The Technical Advisory Committee review comments were received by June 5th of 2009. Those comments were forwarded to the commission and are a part of the record for this application. For information purposes, this site had received preliminary approval for 13 lots in 2006. That was subdivision application number 2003-33 and was granted with conditions and stipulations. Time extension was granted in 2007 and final approval was granted in December of 2007. The purpose of this application is to revise the layout of the project and to add 5 additional lots for a total of 18 lots, and that no additional comments have been received from any agency or individual. And you will note that I said 18. The revised site plan received based on the comments that reduced it to 18 instead of 20.
Okay.
That's all I have, Mr. Chairman.
All right, sir. Is there anyone here representing this application?
Thank you all, Mr. Chairman, members. I'm a member of Woodland Ferry Estates. We have a 13-lot approved subdivision currently on Woodpecker and Woodland Ferry Road. We have an approved DelDOT entrance in with pavement. We have a release from soil conservation for all the storm management ponds. And currently, under the correctness of today's market, we're seeking additional 5 lots so we can meet market needs. We have found that 2-acre lots aren't what they used to be and are worth about the same as a 1-acre lot, if not a little bit less. So consequently, we're here to get increased density by 5 units, which will have no impact, in our opinion, with DelDOT or stormwater management, per comment from those folks. And I have a representative from Miller Lewis, Bob Sigler, who will gladly comment of the state, current state of the subdivision.
Okay. Can I get your name again, please?
John Hanenfeld, H-A-N-E-N-F, like in Frank, E-L-D.
Thank you.
One thing I want to make clear,
sir.
You don't have a subdivision. You don't have a subdivision now. This is a new subdivision application, so don't refer to an existing subdivision because there isn't one.
There might be a point argument. The subdivision layouts are different than the lots. The street layout's exactly the same.
Well, I thought everything expired.
No, it's a record, and it's, they've already started construction. Well,
stand corrected. Excuse me. Go ahead.
And if,
as the, didn't the entrance already built?
Yes. Yeah.
And the stormwater management.
And it's not. It's good for 5 years when they get final approval. That approval is good for 5 years. They have to be substantially underway at the, before that 5 years ends. And they're started construction by putting in their entrance. They've got to go a little further than that to be substantial, but they have additional years to get it done.
Okay.
Bob Sigler from Miller Lewis Surveying in Seaford. Did you get up any copies of the plan? What it essentially amounts to is they were all 2 acre lots, as you will see on the easterly side of the entrance road. What Mr. Hanenfeld's idea was that leave those as there's a poultry farm to the east of that as 2 acre lots.
Sir, can you
just you're scraping the microphone?
It's real hard to hear what you're saying.
Ow.
I'm sure the people
in
the
room can hear that.
Sorry. Okay, I'm sorry. And then, as you can see on the west side, to go to the smaller lots. Stormwater management areas are both approved. As-builts have been approved on those, and other than that, I will leave it up to you.
Okay. Well, we'll see if anyone has any questions for you. And we'll, start with Mr. Johnson.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. One of you might want to come up, if you would. I can show you my concerns as a commissioner who wasn't here for the previous subdivision, and perhaps, Mr. Chairman, you might have been the only one on the existing commission who was here. But should you come before us again in the future where you're going to redesign a subdivision, it'd be greatly beneficial if I had a copy of what you originally submitted and, as well as this. I don't know about you, but I don't have time to go digging through the county's records to find all that historical information. And I certainly am able to render a decision a whole lot easier when I have all the information. I don't have to go hunting for it. But that being said, is my basic understanding is that you've taken some of the bigger lots and have cut them into two.
Correct.
Could you tell me which of the lots that you're cutting into two and how they're being cut into two? Is it shown here?
They were on this side, but I can't tell you what the lot lines were.
Right.
There you are.
That's a
whole lot easier. So it's only on the, what side of the?
Be west.
Yeah, the western side. So basically, taking 2 acre lots and converting them into
roughly an acre.
Yeah, roughly an acre. Some, but they're all greater than 3/4 acre.
Correct.
Yes.
And they're all going to have standard septic and private wells. And, and the 30-foot forested buffer strip will be provided.
It's in place.
It is in place.
Right.
Okay. when I was here today, I didn't see any force through buffer, but
well.
Right, but you will have trees planted there and
okay. Currently, there's trees coming up, but we were going to replant it once approval was met.
And as part of your presentation, you're saying that all the requirements for subdivision are or will be in place, and that you're meeting all the requirements of the code 99-9C.
Yeah, correct. We have a stabilized road all the way back. We've met the DLDOT requirements. They've released bond. Soil conservation has been out and have reviewed the as-built and have approved and released the as-built. Silt fence coming down. And currently we're just looking to increase density by 5 lots to meet market.
And is there any buffer requirement required between you and what appears to be the war property?
There is now, I mean, because it's the new buffer ordinance. Yeah. Since it's a new application, it's going to have a buffer around 18 and 17 also, the 20-foot one.
As well as the existing stormwater management area.
Yeah. Okay.
So then the plan that we're seeing today, that does not show that.
That ordinance has changed since the prior one was approved.
Yeah, and just so I understand, I don't want to alarm everybody again. Because this is a new application,
yeah,
all the new rules will apply. The point is, though, they do in fact have a subdivision, can build the 13-lot subdivision and go on with life. Right?
Yeah.
Okay. Right. Just making sure that new lot lines, new rules.
Right.
Okay. I'm good.
Now, would that also necessitate a buffer there along the entrance as well, Mr. Robertson?
Like where the...
Again, surrounding the
entrance
property?
Is already established, so, yeah, not there.
So not there, okay.
Because you'd end up with no entrance, really.
But, yeah. It would end up with a 20-foot landscape buffer between Hanley and Maria Ward property, now or formerly, and lot 1718 in the stormwater management area.
Okay.
I don't know if it'll impact stormwater management area or not. Possible. You don't have the design in front. It probably won't, but it will be a taking of 20 foot of it.
And are there any wetlands on your property?
I believe right by the lower stormwater management pond. There were noted, delineated in the back. It became a stormwater management pond at the rear of the property. But I believe, to answer your question, no. But no, there's no wetlands on our property.
There are no wetlands on your property.
According to note number 12, there are 404 wetlands exist on this property.
Oh, I'm sorry.
It would be in the
description.
Back.
Oh, okay.
That's what those W's are.
You can point out where they are.
Certainly. It's in the northeastern corner of the property, back by the stormwater management area in the back. See where the W1, WF1, WF2, those are the wetlands flags that we located to plot on here. So it's that little piece right along the ditch that has wetlands attended to it.
So there is a drainage ditch on your property?
Yes.
Is that a tax ditch?
Yes.
Is there access provided for the maintenance of the tax ditch?
There's maintenance for the stormwater management area that is immediately attendant to the wetlands and the tax ditch and an access way to it.
So the tax ditch is on in a lower right-hand corner, is that what you're telling me? Where the wetlands are?
Yes, sir.
And is there the buffer requirement or the access, I guess the easement requirement for tax ditch, is that being provided?
Coming down from the cul-de-sac, the 20-foot wide strip.
You took that out of there. I wanted to see the other, the old one. That's okay.
I took it back.
That's fine.
Mr. Johnson, the 20-foot wide strip coming down to the stormwater management area from the base of the cul-de-sac is maintenance and the drainage area.
But what the question is, I think, is the maintenance easement for the tax ditch. Where's that? Is that on your property? Yeah. Is that on the next door property, or where is it?
Don't believe it's been plotted, so I'm not sure. You're talking about what's...
let me back up. Let's start at square one. Is it a tax ditch? Formally, is it a tax ditch?
It seems like we would have been, when this came through, am I correct, Lawrence? That
it was a tax ditch. It would have been reported by
showed.
The district.
So I was incorrect when I said it was a tax ditch.
It's not a tax ditch.
It's not. I didn't think it was.
Pardon me.
Yeah, guys, I haven't got one right yet. Come on.
Trying.
Maybe I should stop. Mr. Chairman, I don't have more questions at this point.
Mr. Burton.
Is there a proposal for any street lighting for this?
We have contacted with, it's a Delaware Co-op site, and they are planning on putting, I believe, 2 or 3 coach lamps within the community as we pull power back through it, yes.
Is there sidewalks?
No, there is none required.
There was none required in the original subdivision. You could require them for this if you wanted, because it's a new plan.
Is there septic feasibility on all these?
Oh yeah, it's a fully approved soil conservation has been done. It's standard or LPP throughout the community.
The fact that you added 5 doesn't change the number.
Do you have something from DENREC that indicates that? If you got a new feasibility study, or because they'd have to have a new feasibility study when they launched to go from 13.
Yes, for those revised lots and the new lots. The ones that stayed the same, they probably already have them.
Right, but I'm thinking about the 5.
What they
five
reported
new.
Originally was that the added septic feasibility, what they would have told us before. I don't know what they have to go through the TAC record and see what they said this time.
Okay.
And I would guess that the outfall for the stormwater management area that's on the area with the wetlands outfalls into the non-tax ditch?
Correct.
Is that what it does? Okay. And the outfall for the front one? Where would that go?
To the overflow from it, generally it perks. But the overflow from it is to the stormwater management area in the back and metered into the channel.
And that's already been through the conservation district or no?
Yes, it has been.
It's in place and the as-built have been submitted and approved.
Okay.
No further questions.
Okay. All right, Mr. Smith. No questions.
Mr. White?
No questions.
Council?
No questions. Okay, gentlemen. Take a seat nearby. We'll see if there's anybody with an interest in your application. I think there might be one or two. Is there anyone here that would like to speak in favor of subdivision 2009-3 Woodland Ferry Estates, LLC? Is there anyone here that would like to speak in opposition to subdivision number 2009-3? Yes, sir. Mr. Tull, come on up. Give us your name. I know who you are, but the tape doesn't. So
I'm Ray Tull. I'm the owner of the farm right next to this building site. Lived there all my life. And I was told by the Planning and Zoning Commission by phone that this permit for this 13 houses had expired. And that kind of misled me. So I guess I'm here to oppose increasing it to 5 lots. So this whole thing is only 700 foot wide, and I border it on about 2,000 foot. 50 foot from the line is my first chicken house, and then there's 2 more. There's 4 chicken houses, 2 manure sheds, and as far as the planted buffer, there is a berm next to my chicken houses, but trees were planted. They've all died. Nobody took care of it. Next to my chicken houses, I have 2 rows of trees that are growing. They're healthy. if this, I want this subdivision at least do what they're supposed to do. There's no planted buffer behind the ore property. There's no buffer between, there's about 200 foot, nothing at all. And on the west side, they just let it grow up in wild cherry trees. There's no planted buffer. And the storm overflow goes into Turtle Creek, which runs on the back of my farm, comes all the way around in back of my residence. And when it gets wet, it backs up within 10 foot of my house. And the more storm water goes into it, the worse it gets. So, like I said, it's kind of, I guess the 13 house is already approved, but so they want to increase it by 5, but this is a chicken operation. You've got feed trucks coming 24 hours a day. When you move chickens at night, which could start in at midnight and end up 4 o'clock the next afternoon, in the summertime they run fans powered by diesel engines. You can hear them a mile away. So in my view, I think the least amount of houses you can have right under a chicken house, the better. I mean, some of these houses are going to be 200 foot, actually 200 foot from my first chicken house. And, well, for one thing, I have a total of 60 50-inch fans. When it gets hot, and they're blowing, they blow feathers all over the place. Like I say, subdivision is already approved, I guess, hadn't been expired. But the more people, they're just not going to understand all this. I know I'm protected by Title III, Section 1401 of the Delaware Code, but when these homes are sold, they're not going to be explained very much. They're not going to be told that there's going to be alarms going off sometimes middle of the night, that there's going to be truck traffic, that there's, when you move chickens, it's noisy. And it's just not going to be the quiet, serene country atmosphere they think they're getting into. For one thing, I have a sign on my pump room. And this sign helps me keep my chickens alive. It's a sign, it's hooked to a cell phone, it's hooked to a pager, but sometimes a siren tells me first. Sometimes it doesn't come through on a cell phone. And that tells me everything. It tells me if I'm out of feed, no power. Hot weather, you don't have any power, you lose chickens. And nothing else, somebody moving in from the city, they're not going to understand how it's, your whole yard smells like a chicken house. And on a foggy morning, it will, because I've lived next to a chicken house all my life, livestock. If you're used to that, that's fine. But
it smells like money, don't it?
It smells like money to me. To me. It sounds like a nuisance. You ask anybody about chickens that doesn't acquaint you with the chicken business, first thing they're going to tell you, oh, they smell. Well, that's fine. That's just life. One other thing that people haven't mentioned that you don't hear much about is in chicken houses, you have something called darkling beetles. And that don't sound very offensive, but sometimes after you move the chickens, they get outside the houses. And I've got a rental property about 200 foot from these houses, which is the old farmhouse, which I've had excellent tenants in for 20 years. But they went on vacation one time, and when they came home, they had darkling beetles in the house. And I thought I was going to lose my tenants. They had to wash all their clothes, and it's just not a good situation. But they, in fact, the fella, he helps me some with the chickens, but when mom says, let's move, it carries a lot of weight. But it all worked out. So that's about all I have to say. But additional houses are just mean more probably moans and groans. And I don't have to explain all this to you people. You live in Sussex County. And the people that's going to buy these houses are not going to be from Sussex County. I can guarantee you that. So thank you, gentlemen.
All right, sir, we thank you. Who's next? Anyone else? Yes, sir. Step right up. Give us your name. You may have the floor.
Evening, gentlemen. My name is Donald Allen. I live approximately 900 yards from this property on Woodland Ferry Road, 3662 Woodland Ferry Road. And I too have had to change gears a little here because I was under the impression that this was a total reapplication. But if I may give Mr. Johnson a little history, from the inception of this proposal back in 2003, this has been a square peg in a round hole. This subdivision will be, when it comes to fruition, will be located between three major agribusiness operations. It'll be surrounded. 18 families exposed to the unfamiliar operations and hazards of heavy equipment, livestock, and all else that farming entails, just like Mr. Toll said. It takes some getting used to, and I grew up around it. What this is, to me, is a perfect argument for establishing ag districts in Sussex County, like some of our neighboring states have already established. Agribusiness is one of the most hazardous industries in our country. These folks, the hazards are known to those of us that grew up with it and work in it. But people coming here from outside the region with children, it's going to increase the liability of these farmers. I personally am not a farmer. I only own 3 acres, but I work in agribusiness. So I can appreciate the problems that the farmer comes up against with unwanted people on his land or whatever. This also will adversely impact the environment. We already went through this with the initial proposal back in 2003. It's going to put additional strain on the infrastructure. Going back to the environment, if I may, for a second, Turtle Branch, Turtle Creek, it bisects just south of where Mr. Tull and I live. Turtle Branch runs behind me. Turtle Creek runs behind his property. This is a major feeder. I say major. All the branches in the Nanticoke Watershed Estuary are major feeders. I mean, our Nanticoke Estuary covers two states and five counties. Everything that goes into the soil goes into the river, or everything that runs off of asphalt and shingle goes into that river. This particular piece of property is located in close proximity to this Turtle Creek. But also the strain that this will put on infrastructure, these additional 3 properties added to the other existing 13, it's going to create an expense that the tax base that this development generates will never repay. We, the neighbors, will be footing part of that bill also. It's an unneeded development. It has been from the beginning. And with the way the market's gone at present, if you travel within a 5-mile radius of this development, you'll find that there are more than 18 properties that have been on the market for more than 2 years. Some of them with dwellings already on them fit for habitation. In nearby Seaford, there are 10 times that many properties. Many of them have been awaiting buyers for much longer than 2 years. Back in 2003, we filled this hall with our neighbors. 38 people were present that night, and we held a petition holding 86 signatures. Unfortunately, we've not been able to energize our neighbors this time around like we did then, because quite frankly, I think a lot of them have lost faith in the system because they feel our pleas fell on deaf ears that night. Our community was opposed to the development then, but what came out of the permit was a restricted community for 13 dwellings of houses, or 13 structures, houses built to a certain size and configuration. They were to be stick built. We find here in the last year or so that that restriction was lifted. We have been led to believe that.
Which restrictions, sir?
That this is now there. There will now be manufactured homes allowed on this on these sites, or am I wrong in that, sir?
I'm not familiar with what the conditions and restrictions were at the time. Well, but whatever they were, they are still in force. There's no relaxation of them.
I have now this could very well be from an advertisement, but I have a piece of paper here, and it was attached to this. And if I may submit this.
If you give it to our attorney.
Items were attached. If you look on the second page, we're on the front. It was to be a restricted development, no mobile homes, mm-hmm. None of this. And we've been led to believe that that has been changed in recent years.
No, the first page is just a printout of the county's website.
Okay.
So, I mean, but that doesn't say anything about...
All right, possibly I'm wrong. The bottom line is this was the original 13 properties were advertised, if maybe that's what I've got there, but advertised as a restricted development. That is something that was, even though it wasn't agreeable to us, it was somewhat palatable.
Well, yeah.
But anyhow, I don't want to take up too much of your time, but like I say, a lot of our neighbors have become disheartened. I still believe in the system. That's why I'm here tonight. And as you deliberate, please remember that my neighbors and I will have to live with what you decide, and we are ultimately the ones whose livelihoods, lifestyles, and property values will be impacted by this development. Not the individuals who are requesting this permit. This will be in our backyard, not theirs.
All right, sir.
I thank you for your time.
Thank you. Lawrence, where are we with the clock on this thing? Because if this was where are we with the clock on this development? Because it was approved in 2003, and
it was applied for in
2003. Wouldn't it get here in 2005?
It was applied for in 2003. Received preliminary approval on 13 lots in 2006. There was a time extension granted in 2007, and final approval granted in December 2007. So December 2007 plus 5.
It's through 2012.
So they've got until December 2012.
To be substantially under construction, not completed necessarily, but stormwater site work be completed, entry completed, some utilities in place, a house or two in place or whatever, but it had to be substantially under construction.
Okay.
By December of 2012, I'm not sure what the date of recordation was, but it had to be within 60 days of that, so it's at the earliest January 2003, or 13, excuse me.
Yeah. Okay. Thanks. I just wanted to know what the time frame was so that everybody could be clear on that.
The one question that came up. I just had the minutes from the previous application. I didn't have the application with me, but I have the minutes. What the gentleman just stated was that the proposed dwellings will be on-site stick-built homes. Manufactured homes will not be permitted. That's what was stated. Right. And most of the other statements were correct also.
Okay. All right. Who's next? Yes, ma'am, in the blue. And then you, sir, in the plaid shirt. Don't let me forget. Oh, I didn't even see you. I'm sorry. You can sit over here with the rest of the crowd. Okay, you, then you, and then you. Okay, go ahead.
Yes, sir. My name is Linda Allen, and my husband Don Allen was just speaking. On the confusion about the type of homes that would be allowed on there.
Yes, ma'am.
As I said, we were told that it was going to be a restricted community. Homes that would range in like the 200 to 300,000 range, and there were certain sizes and everything like that.
Right.
But sometime last year, I went on the Sussex County Multiple Listing Service for real estate,
mm-hmm.
and I saw that it was advertised, suddenly it was being advertised as land home packages, mm-hmm. and their zoning had been changed, and it was going to be mobile homes that were 1970 and older, or newer, allowed, or modular homes.
Well, I can tell you right now that's not happening.
That's not okay. That's wrong.
And that's where this confusion was. And I mean, it was the road into there is called Sophie's Way, and it was listing land home packages at Woodland Ferry Estates, Sophie's Way. So that's where all this confusion is coming from as to what's allowed there.
Okay.
But then I also, too, have concerns about the environment, about the wildlife. Folks have a tendency to get upset when all of a sudden you've got the raccoons and the possums in your yard tearing everything up. But the more homes you put into a place like this, the more you're taking away their habitat, so they're going to invade your habitat, and the extra runoff created and such as that. And one other thing that has us confused, there has been Century 21 listings, there has been a computer-generated picture of a home advertised on a corner lot at Woodland Ferry Estates, and it's saying it's already under construction. And there's nothing going on there, so this is something else that has us very confused also.
These doggone real estate people are something, aren't they?
Sometimes, yes, sir.
Well, I appreciate your concern. I can assure you that, as counsel did, that legally, and that's what counts here.
Yes.
It's none of that applies. If you saw it on the MLS, somebody needs to make a phone call, straighten that out. Whatever they do in advertising and so on, if that in fact is taking place, it doesn't have any standing. So, and anytime you have a concern, feel free to call Mr. Lank. He'll be able to tell you exactly what's allowed to happen and not. Okay, sir, you're next, and then over here, and then the guy in the black shirt.
Arthur Walschlager, and I live next door to Ray Tall.
Okay.
I don't know if that's good or bad, but anyway.
It's
dangerous.
Jury's still out on that, maybe, you know. Could you give your name? Just spell
Arthur
it.
Walschlager.
Arthur. Okay, thank you.
Anyway, the main concern of mine is that creek. Ever since 2006, when we had the big storm, and that road washed out, the Delta didn't do a great job on repairing it. Mm-hmm. And every time we have a rain now, that water comes up over the road. It just can't handle any more water. And it's encroaching more and more on my property. When I first moved there 11 years ago, I didn't have a problem with it, but it's getting closer and closer to the house now because it just won't drain off.
Okay.
And that's it. The main thing is the runoff from that new project.
Okay.
If they're going to put 13 more five more houses on it, it's going to be that much more runoff.
Mm-hmm. All right, sir. I would encourage you and every one of your neighbors to call the Sussex County Soil Conservation District and express your concern and ask them to tell them you want them to come out there and assure you that that this development is not going to be a problem, because that is a part of their job. If they approved a plan, then they obviously think that the drainage is sufficient. So,
but it has changed since they approved it. Change was that when the road washed out, the debris from the road, all the rocks and the asphalt, my cabin, all is still laying there in the hole.
Well, that's what I'm saying. If you go tell them that, they might make these guys clean it up. So. You know, yeah, well, if you want a permit, it might be your problem. Okay. Go ahead. Okay, let's see. We were over here. Yes, sir. In the red shirt.
My name's Steve West. My property butts up to what they're talking about over here.
Yes, it does.
One thing I remember from when we went through this the first time, that these lots were approved for LPP systems, not standard systems. And we all know LPP systems aren't worth what goes into them. I have a big concern. They've already been back here, cut the woods down. The tax ditch is my ditch. And when you get back into where their runoff pond is, there is no ditch. It's more like a floodplain in there. Maybe just a little bit of a cut through there. And as far as their retaining pond, I don't know if they've had a problem with it or not, but within the last 2 months, about 6 o'clock on a Saturday morning, we've had crews in there building the berm up a little bit higher around it. I can look out my bedroom window and see them. So I don't know what that problem is. The other thing, I haven't seen a new drawing. You mind if I take a look at something there?
Absolutely.
Okay. Yeah, you show eyebrows.
Sir, you need
sir,
to
you gotta talk to me.
The
yeah, you got to talk to me.
Okay, sorry. You show eyebrows in here, which, and that's what the road is based on right now. But earlier, a couple years ago, Mr. Hannafield had a sign showing it in his real estate office with fern circles in there, stating that that's been approved by the fire company, that that's what they need to be able to get in there. I don't think these roads are even big enough for a fire truck to turn around. I know the cul-de-sac wouldn't be. I'd say it wouldn't. It's, from what's back there now, the crushing run has been in. You can't even hardly see it for the grass. It's there. And what they've blacktopped is probably about 50 feet into it. Far as the operations on both sides, the farming, my father's property butts up on the other side. We have hay, we have farming goes on there. And I know this has been a kind of a dead issue, but when you got the little kids in there, you're going to have equipment, going to have toys left out there. That can mess up a $250,000 combine. You know, it's just, it's not a good situation. And what I've got is a 30-foot, they say it's a 30-foot buffer. I don't even think I'll have a buffer because it's kind of woods back by me, to be honest with you. I think they'll just leave it to woods. Because mm-hmm. As of right now, they took most of the woods down to put the retaining pond in, the cul-de-sac in. If you've been back here, you know what I'm talking about. So I've been opposed from this from day one. I think it's not a very good piece of property to even think about putting a development in because it's too narrow. Okay. And my main thing, too, is the septic. Unless something's changed in the several years, they've gone from an LPP to a standard. I like to have some of that property. The runoff that everybody's talking about, that starts from way back. It floods big time. And I don't think with this going into it, it's not going to help it anymore. Thank you.
All right, sir. Thank you. Okay, I think we were right here. Oh, he's okay. All right, over here. Yes, sir, in the back.
My name is Carlton Jones, and I rent the property that joins the side of that. And like this, Steve's father owns it. My main concern is we also have cattle, and twice a year on our farm, it's weaning time. And when it's weaning time, mama makes a noise and babies makes a noise and strangers take offense to that. And we have had some complaints about that. But I guess my main concern is with his first statement, and it's pretty much standard procedure, individual wells and septic systems. I was here before the first time, and we had a lot of opposition, and it didn't seem to help much. But one of the problems that I had in my research for that, I tried to find out what the nutrient load was for an average family. Now, evidently, we're going to have to live with the 13 houses if they can find somebody to buy them. I can't imagine anybody wanting to live under these circumstances, but if there is, I'm sure they got a lot of money invested. I don't really want to see them lose their money. But we as farmers, eventually down the road, I might not live to see it, but we're going to become the minority. We're not going to have enough say as to what controls and rules what we do, because you're going to have so many other people, and I've been around long enough to know that anybody that wants to get elected, he has to be on the popular side. And if we get to being in a minority, and I know that these deeds state that when you move in the country, you have to live with what happens in the country. But if you get enough people on the opposite side of that to put enough pressure, that can get changed. And I'm still old enough to think that the farmers are necessary. I'm not convinced that I can just go to the grocery store and get my food. I think we have to raise it first. And there's a lot of people, and it's kind of like a joke, but there's a lot of people that doesn't consider the farmers as a source of their food, and that's a shame. But to get back to the original question, the nutrient load. Mm-hmm. We as farmers plant a crop. Yes, we're guilty of adding nutrients to the land, but we plant crops to take those nutrients up. We plant cover crops, and yes, the government does help us with that in a lot of cases. I got to admit that, but we take care of the nutrients that we add to the ground. Now, all these houses, what do they do to take care of the nutrients they're putting in the ground? And they're there. You will not find many people that's going to publicize the figures, but they're there. People know. It's just something that they don't want the general public to know. And for that, I'm sorry about. These ditches that you were talking about, that we've been talking about, they all go to the Nanticoke River, less than a mile. And the Nanticoke River goes to the Chesapeake Bay. And all these extra nutrients, they might just put them in the ground, but there's underground water currents and all, too. So I didn't think we needed the first 13, and I definitely don't think we need the extra five.
All right, sir. We thank
you.
Anyone else like to speak in opposition? Okay, anyone on the commission have any questions?
I do, Mr. Chairman.
Okay.
And I'm kind of like the audience. I'm a little confused, too, what we're dealing with here. As I understand it, just for summation, we have an approved 13-lot subdivision.
Correct.
That already has the stipulations and restrictions on it in terms of the stick-built houses.
Yes, sir.
Before us today, we're looking at subdivision of 18, or are we looking at an addition of 5? And so are we dealing with a whole new scratch, or are we dealing with
it's not been advertised nor applied for. It seems to me as an expansion of an existing subdivision.
Yeah, the application the other day
is for a new subdivision. I misspoke in the beginning when I said they don't have one. Yes, they do have one. They certainly have one. And for 13, that is designed and approved under the rules that were in effect in 2005 or whatever it was. Okay, if this is approved, it will be have to be designed to the rules that are in effect today. That's where we are.
No one's out. No one's out.
The other one's out the window, and the stormwater management regulations have changed substantially in that amount of time. There are other, you know, our ordinances changed, our buffers have changed. So, I mean, there's plenty to be different about this, I think.
And Mr. Johnson, just to add, because I think I'm seeing what your concern is, it was the one on Camperhead Road
that was an expansion,
additional land though.
Yes.
Yeah, but it was more land, you know, and the.
Well, that's where my confusion is coming, is because if we were inclined to approve this, then we haven't talked about any of those conditions and, you know, restrictions, you know, in terms of stick built versus modular and all that.
It'd be a clean slate, basically.
I think something else that needs to be considered in the discussion is that the applicant testified that this is being done in response to market conditions, okay? We have made changes in subdivisions, but we have not increased the number of units or lots. We have had more single family and less townhome, or more townhome, less single family. We've approved things like that. The thing that I think differentiates this is that it's more lots than what were there before, which is why they're back with a new subdivision application. You know, I would suspect that that's why. So, I mean,
which is why I stopped asking questions. I felt like I was doing the applicant's presentation by asking them all these questions, and that's not my job to ask leading questions. My job is to review the information that's presented to us in the public hearing and act upon that.
And just remind everyone, decisions have to be made based on what's on the record for this public hearing. Okay, so.
Are we accepting the conditions that are on this plot as the conditions that would?
No, you can't, because some of them are.
Yeah, now to the extent that these are surveyor's notes, that's one thing. But the conditions of approval, you know, for the prior subdivision, I mean, you could bring them forward if you want, but it's a clean slate. I mean, you can start.
So whatever conditions starting we're off starting tonight. Yeah.
And there's been conditions that have developed again since 2003 that, you know, the county's put on things that didn't have to play then.
Yes, that's the now the fact that not much in the way of conditions have been offered does not mean that you cannot place numerous conditions, substantially more conditions if you wanted to. To approve it. It'll be subject to whatever conditions the commission feels are appropriate at the time. So let's go where we are.
Well, based on that, Mr. Chairman, I do want to have a question for the applicant based on what our discussion was.
Mr. Annenfeld, if you would come up. Mr. Johnson has a question for you, and while you're at it, maybe we'll answer your question.
First my question.
Oh, sure.
If you don't mind. My question is, have any of these lots been sold?
Purposely, no, because we've been waiting for this point in time over a period of a year or so to get to this point. So the answer
so we're not
no.
dealing with anyone who's previously bought a lot that with an understanding that it's going to look like X, and now you're looking to change it to Y.
No.
Okay.
We had a couple lots reserved a few years back. They have since fallen out, but there's no lot sold currently.
Good.
Thank you.
What was your question, sir?
My question to planning and zoning. Currently, we have an approved 13-lot subdivision.
That's right.
If you were to approve an 18-lot subdivision, will the conditions include, I guess, sidewalks and what have you?
In fact, we have been more inclined to do that, and I think that's one of the things that's playing into both sides of this question. Is that when this originally was applied for in 2003, things were substantially different than they are here in 2010.
Yeah, now let me tell you the track of history of me and the members of the LLC. We weren't involved in 2003. We acquired it after it had preliminary approval for 13 lots. Mm-hmm. We then took it through, I don't know if it was Plus or whatever it was, but we took it through. And at this time, we have a stabilized road, Del Dot, and stormwater management in place for the 13 lots.
Right.
The mission here was, I don't know if we would, I guess maybe we've, after a period of time, we've twisted some words, but to add additional lots, we'll have a new subdivision and will be warranted by the new rules and regs as of today. If the commission rules and we are unable, based on financial, to put sidewalks in or what have you, then what happens?
You're dead.
Yeah. I mean, if you get preliminary approval on this, which I'll tell you is no guarantee, because it's incumbent upon applicants to make a record. I mean, you heard the one before this, and that, you know, there was questions with that. You got to go through and make a record. 99.9C is real important to this. You can't, today's day and age, you can't come up and just show a plot and say, please do it.
Again, I guess.
But that's the first thing. So if you get preliminary approval on this, it probably doesn't wipe out your final approval that's recorded. If you get preliminary approval, then you get final, then you record the final. That's going to wipe out your prior final.
So in other words, we would have a moment to do the economics between where we are today and where we are to get to final. So you could grant us 18 lots tonight, but then after we run the economics based on your recommendations, what needs to be out there, like sidewalks and what have you, we could withdraw and stay with what we have. Or what is the problem? I just need to know this.
That's something that you need to talk to a lawyer or somebody about.
Right.
I mean, you're asking us for legal advice about what happens with your plan, and I think that's really beyond the purpose of what this hearing is.
I'm saying right now we have 13 lots whatever the rumors are, they are, we have covenants and restrictions. We even put in our covenants and restrictions that we are in a right. agricultural district.
That's right.
And we are doing stick-built homes, et cetera, single detached. I don't want to go from 13 to 9 because then, you know what I'm saying, 13 to 18 with conditions, then the 18 is makes it cost prohibitive. The whole idea of adding lots is to drive the lot price
better
down.
Have 13 and 0.
Yeah.
Correct.
Right. And you absolutely have the right to proceed with the 13 with that approved plan, and you're good to go.
Okay. Even with the recommendation of the board tonight?
Regardless of what we say about this is a separate application. You already have one approved, and if you get...
So I'm going to say, if you say we grant you preliminary approval for 18 lots, it doesn't wipe out what I currently have.
Not until you record it, I believe.
Yeah, I think
we really can't answer that question for you. You need to seek some legal counsel in regard to that. And
frankly, I wish you'd have figured that out before you came through the process.
Yeah, and rightly so. I thought we were just adding five additional lots to it. We're dividing three lots up and getting five more. So,
Okay. Thank you. Anyone else on the commission have any questions? There being none, we'll close the public hearing. We'll invite you to remain with us for the rest of the evening to see if we make a decision, or you may wish to call the office in the